Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, November 6th, 2018. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition argues appeal of eastern route of U.S. Highway 95 over Paradise Ridge before Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals panel in Portland. Moscow City Council votes to move forward with A Street Reconstruction Project, and Spokane County Treasurer, running for County Commission, agrees with right-wing Representative Matt Shea's Biblical Basis for War document. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. An attorney for supporters of one of the last remaining fragments of native Palouse Prairie habitat argued their appeal of the Idaho Transportation Department's plan to put a four-lane highway on the flank of Paradise Ridge before a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals panel today in Portland. Attorney David Bricklin, representing the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition, said the decision to build the easternmost route, known as E2, on the flank of Paradise Ridge means they chose the route closest to the native Palouse Prairie habitat remnants.
The alternative they chose has the most impact of all the alternatives they were looking at. It comes closest to the largest remnants of any of the alternatives. They say that they will address this by through mitigation. And in a case like this, where you have such a significant impact to such a endangered resource, it's important that the agency do a good job of discussing the expected effectiveness of the mitigation. And in the Cuddy Hill...
Are you talking about the invasive weeds issue?
Yes, yes.
So, and so your argument is they didn't... There was more they should have done to analyze the effectiveness of the mitigation measures. Is that
yes?
Is that your argument?
And not only more, they didn't do any. So more than zero, yes.
So their argument is that the EIS, the final EIS, included a list of mitigation measures that they were prepared to undertake, and in fact that they were going to undertake, and they say that was enough, including developing a project seed mix and giving funds to local landowners and the like. So why was that not enough?
Because it's one thing to list mitigation measures. It's something else to say whether you expect them to be effective. And
is there a requirement that to analyze? Their argument is there's no requirement to evaluate their effectiveness at this point.
Yes, they're wrong. This court's Cuddy Mountain case and the Northwest Cemetery case both established that the effectiveness of the mitigation measures must be discussed.
The wetlands issue is considered a separate environmental issue from the native Palouse Prairie habitat nearby, which is located higher on the ridge than the wetlands. Summer Engels, the attorney representing the Federal Highway Administration, told the panel the Idaho Transportation Department and Federal Highway Administration determined there was no other alternative than to go through wetlands.
The language of the executive order says that the agency must determine that no practicable alternative to construction in wetlands exists. And the agencies did that here. The wetlands order exists to ensure that the agencies consider wetlands impacts in their NEPA analysis, but it doesn't create a specific duty above and beyond what's required by NEPA. This court explained in National Wildlife Federation v. Adams at 591 that the executive order extends a broader protective aura to wetlands than NEPA standing alone, but it doesn't create an additional duty. Here, reading the executive order to require the agency to select the least environmentally damaging alternative to wetlands is akin to reading in a Clean Water Act LEDPA analysis. That Section 404 analysis, to the extent that it's required, will come later. The Corps is not involved at this time, and the Federal Highway Administration isn't required to make the least environmentally damaging determination.
Bricklin argued the highway safety model used by the Idaho Transportation Department in its environmental impact statement was flawed. and noted the old U.S. Highway 95 will remain in use and still be dangerous after it reverts to county road status if the four-lane highway is built on Paradise Ridge. Here is Bricklin.
The EIS pretty clearly relies on this model that comes up with a infinitesimal difference in 0.3 accidents per year. Their chosen E2 alternative better than the next best alternative. We pointed out that 0.3 is meaningless in statistical terms, and the agencies basically concede that now, and the district court did acknowledge that as well. And instead, they've come up with a new argument. They say, well, the modeling was only a piece of it. We also exercise professional judgment. But when you look in the EIS, you do not find any indication that they exercise professional judgment. All you find is reference to the model. If they had been honest about this, Your Honor, and if they had really been looking at a subjective engineering assessment, they would have noted not just what made E2 safer in terms of fewer intersections and things like that. They would have noted in the EIS what made it less safe, which is there's a larger section of the old highway that is preserved in this alternative. That old section of highway is relatively unsafe because the E2 alternative includes more of the old highway. It becomes a less safe alternative. If they had done a subjective engineering analysis in the EIS, there would have been a discussion of that. And they would have said, okay, we on the new section, we're going to have fewer intersections. But on the other hand, we've got a longer stretch of the old highway. On balance, here's our judgment. That's not reflected in the EIS. That's what should have been there if they were going to do as they claim they did of using engineering judgment.
That was Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition attorney David Bricklin. Federal Highway Administration attorney Engels objected to Bricklin's assertion that they had conceded the difference in accident rates in the safety model was statistically insignificant.
No, we're not conceding, and we haven't conceded in our briefing that the statistical analysis or the crash calculations are not useful. Certainly they're close, but they reflect that E2 is the safest by a slim margin. The rest of the analysis shows, and the agencies determined in their expertise, that E2 would be the safest because it's the shortest. It has the shortest period that runs through the suburban area. It has the flattest topography, and it also has the fewest intersections. The agencies explained in the record that most of the crashes that would occur in each alternative would occur in the suburban section due to the existence of the turn lane.
And that was Attorney Summer Engels representing the Federal Highway Administration. The Idaho Transportation Department has expressed a desire to move forward with construction of the eastern alignment of U.S. Highway 95 next year. The Moscow City Council last night approved funding mechanisms to finally reconstruct West A Street at Line Street after the project has been on the drawing board in one form or another since the late 1990s. The project will cost $4.3 million, with federal grant money paying for $3.35 million of the cost, and the city matching with $265,000. The project includes lowering the elevation of the intersection of West A Street and Line Street, so there is less slope for vehicles between A Street and the Pullman Highway. Circle Drive, which runs north of the intersection, is already steep and will get steeper. Circle Drive will be converted into a cul-de-sac and will no longer connect with C Street. The project includes retaining walls, sidewalks, and water and sewer line improvements. City Public Works Director Les McDonald told the council why the reconstruction project has a reputation at the Idaho Transportation Department and other agencies as a project that has spent the longest time undeveloped.
It has languished as much as anything just due to lack of funding in the grant program. The city has done what it has needed to do over the years. Gone through the design, gone through the right-of-way acquisitions, done the environmental, done the historical, all of those good things, gone back and updated some of those as the years have gone by, but it's really been awaiting funding. And it was a funding maneuver, if you will, done about 2 years ago, which involved funding from the Mountain View Road Project, shifting over to the A Street project to then give us enough funding to be able to move forward. Mountain View obviously then will be deferred a bit further, hopefully not nearly as long as this project was, but we are able to now advance this with sufficient grant monies.
That was Moscow Public Works Director Les McDonald. The council last night approved a resolution to pay for $1.26 million of the construction costs for the project through city sewer enterprise fund accumulation by using an interfund investment. The money would be replaced by an STP urban grant once it is available in fiscal year 2020. The council also approved a state-local agreement for the A Street reconstruction project, outlining the responsibilities of the City of Moscow and the Idaho Transportation Department. Work on A Street reconstruction is expected to begin during next summer's construction season prior to the start of fiscal year 2020. One Spokane area politician who doesn't have a problem with Republican Representative Matt Shea's biblical basis for war document is Republican County Treasurer Rob Chase, who is now running for a Spokane County Commission seat. Shea came under fire after first denying he wrote the publication and then admitting he was the author. In the writing, Shea deems all males as enemies if they criticize biblical law. The publication stipulates if they do not yield, kill all males. Chase told the Inlander newspaper, "The just war theory is one of the pillars of civilization." He said it argues for defensive war. The paper reports preppers and members of the Redoubt movement have argued for years the land between the Cascades and central Montana is a God-honored territory for like-minded Christians. Chase said the Shea document is answering questions for a possible future disaster. He said things happen quickly sometimes, and you want to do the right thing. Shea's four-page publication was leaked online last month and is organized into 14 sections with tiered bullet points and uses biblical verses to justify proposed actions. For example, under Rules of War, it includes a description of enemies who criticize biblical law, which states if they do not yield, kill all males. According to the spokesman in review, the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation, which seeks to protect the separation between church and state, said in a statement about Shea's biblical basis for war, quote, "The document specifically contemplates overthrowing tyranny, but it quickly defines a tyrant as someone who rules without God. Thus, it appears to call for violence against any political leader who does not share Shea's personal religious views. By Shea's definition, the United States, a secular democracy founded on a godless constitution, is tyrannical and meant to be overthrown." The Inlander asked Whitworth University Berner Welch theology professor James Edwards about Shea's four-page manifesto, The Biblical Basis for War. Edwards said, "This is far more developed than anything you see in the Old Testament, and it's based on a value system that's foreign to the Old Testament. The only one that might be in the Old Testament would be number three, idolatry. No war in the Bible was waged over abortion or same-sex marriage or communism." Treasurer Chase is running against incumbent Democrat Mary Cuney for county commissioner. Shea's opponent this year in a District 4 Washington House race is Democrat Ted Cummings. Turnout at the Latah County Fairgrounds, where Moscow voters cast ballots, was heavy today, with a long line snaking outside the building at 8 a.m. when polls opened. However, this afternoon, around 2, there was only a short line at the registration table where people were registering to vote before voting, and most voters who had already registered walked up to their precinct tables with one or two people at the most in front of them. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area, there is a 30% chance of precipitation tonight. Rain showers after 7, mixing with snow after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy, low 34. Little or no snow accumulation expected. 30% chance of precipitation tomorrow. Rain and snow before 10 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny, high 42, and mostly clear Wednesday night and Thursday, low 25, high 42, currently 42 degrees. Coming up, we are going to join once again Pacifica's coverage of the midterm elections right here on KRFP Moscow Pullman. So stand by.
KRFP programming is made possible in part by KRFP members and Old Thing Antiques, specializing in lighting, cowboy boots, paper art, cookware, and cutlery. Open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 5:30. Old Thing is right next to KRFP at 114 East 3rd Street in Moscow and at 208-285-1258.
KRFP is also sponsored by
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.